The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. The biggest shocker, of course, Brian Flores, the 40-year-old Miami Dolphins coach who went 24-25 in three seasons as the Dolphins head coach, was let go after going 10-6 in 2020 and 9-8 in 2021. Of course, they did not make the playoffs and have had just one playoff appearance since Stephen Ross bought the team back in 2009. Flores is the winningest coach in that time span. They're winning 49% of his games and going. The Dolphins have had, since 2002, seven seasons above 500. Not 500, but above 500. Brian Flores was the architect of two of those, and they came in the most recent years. This is the first back-to-back winning seasons since 2002 and 2003, I believe, for the Dolphins. And it was, let me confirm that. Yep, since 2002, 2003. Just to let you know how long ago that was, Dave Wannstedt and Ricky Williams were the key figures in the Dolphins back in 2002.
What were the quarter, like Jay Fiedler, maybe?
Jay Fiedler. That's correct.
There we go.
What's up, Debo? How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. I'm sure you had a fantastic intro and are talking about the biggest surprise of the morning by far, right?
Brian Flores, of course. Also, Brian Flores, this is the biggest start. Like, I guess I wasn't that surprised that they were going to fire him in the sense that it felt, you know, when they were 1-7, I think they were 1-7, where they lost seven straight games, first team to ever lose seven straight games and then win seven straight games in NFL history. Certainly the first team to ever win seven straight, and then fire their head coach. Brian Flores, this is the biggest shocker to me. Not that he was fired. It felt like in the middle of that losing streak that he might get fired. 2 weeks ago, he was a coach of the year candidate. And not only did he sweep Bill Belichick and the Patriots this year, he went 4-2 in 3 years against the Patriots. Like, that's the whole job, man. You come to South Beach, you go to the Jets, you go to the Bills. You just got to beat the Patriots. And I get that Tom Brady wasn't there for two of those years. But what more could you possibly want from the Dolphins? Now, maybe this is smoke and mirrors. I call them frauds all along because they were beating up on bad teams. Yeah. And that's okay. You know, they ended up being, they weren't a playoff caliber team. They took a little bit of a step back in terms of their win total. They took a little bit of a step back from that 10 win season last year. That was probably going to happen no matter what. So I think two things have to be, it has to be one of two things here, Debo. And I'm curious what you think is more likely. One, that Jim Harbaugh is in Stephen Ross's back pocket. And that seems less likely now that he commented and said he won't be the guy to hire him away from Michigan. So throw that theory out the window, I guess, which means it's the only other thing is possible is that there is a power struggle between GM Chris Greer, who is not being fired, and Brian Flores, who is fired. And that Stephen Ross, as many naive billionaires who run football teams often find themselves, basically got hoodwinked by the GM, who he spends more time talking to than the head coach. And there is a belief, I think, around the league that Flores was not a huge fan of Tua Tagovailoa. Greer was, you know, key in drafting him. And so you're probably going to see a focus on finding a coach who is very intrigued by Tua, which, I mean, I guess good luck. I mean, since with the Harbaugh, I mean, like, don't you think that's the only possible explanation for this?
I think you narrowed it down. Yeah, there was all the speculation for the past couple of weeks that it would be a Harbaugh thing. And I just want to bring up, you know, it's great when we hear from reporters, but I always kind of put added weight to former players that are in the media now that say something along those lines. And I just want to show Darius Butler, former player in the media, man-to-man pod, has these types of connections. And when someone like that, like when our guy BMAC says something attached to someone in the league, I tend to trust it because they're very close.
There's no agenda there.
Right.
Like
right.
Darius Butler's not being fed information by Chris Greer. You know,
no, there's not this source guessing that we sometimes might do with others. We're not having that agenda here. So it says, for those listening on the podcast, according to my sources in Miami, there was tension all year between GM Greer and head coach Flores. GM Chris Greer had been a part of the Dolphins organization for more than 20 years. One or both had to go. Now, others reporting this as well, but when it comes from a place like this, tend to believe it. And you're right. From coach of the year candidate, we were talking about him 60-1. Did you get that bet in, Will?
I did not. I did not bet him.
Well, wise.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad.
Probably. What were the odds last night that we would have had him to be fired this morning? 20-1. It wasn't 60-1, but still super unlikely. One of the more unlikely Black Monday firings I can remember on Monday in the past couple of years.
I would say it's extremely unlikely firing. If you told me that a head coach in his third year had a winning record, went to any AFC East team other than the Patriots, and one had a winning record in 2 of 3 years, but didn't make the playoffs. That's okay. 10-6, 9-8. Had a young quarterback who was starting to show some promise, and had swept Bill Belichick. And went 4-2 against Belichick. I would expect that he would be getting a contract extension, not that he would be fired. The Darius Butler thing, like I said, I hadn't even seen that tweet. I agree with you. Like, that's seeing that from a former player who's in the media, but still talks to a lot of these players, you know, like if you're 2 or 3 years removed from the league, which I think Darius Butler is, yeah. I mean, you got a lot of friends around the league. Like you know, people in organizations, and a lot of those dudes you played with, end up going, you know, to go on to coach, like, you know, I mean, so like it's that information is probably pretty accurate is what I'm saying. And I agree with you.
And ultimately, I think it comes down when you just look at the owner, and we talk about Stephen Ross becoming the majority owner in 2009, one playoff appearance since then. That's all it is. If there was one playoff appearance in the past 3 years for Brian Flores, you know, he's put up a decent record, one game below 500, but one playoff appearance, even if it was in year one or year two and not this year, I think that changes things. But these owners get greedy, and rightfully so, but they don't like that stat of one playoff appearance in the past 12 seasons, just two playoff appearances for the franchise in the past 20 years. That's the difference here.
Hey, toss that Butler tweet up again, because I want to point something out, if you don't mind.
I am doing that now.
So in his tweet, he noted that Chris Greer, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Oh yeah. Chris Greer, the second part of it, GM Chris Greer has been part of the Dolphins organization for more than 20 years. So Stephen Ross bought the Dolphins in 2009. Do you think that you should keep, like, here's my thing. Should you keep the guy who's new and winning, or keep the guy who's been in the crappy organization for a really long time? Like, maybe Stephen Ross needs to look like internally, because it's probably more likely that this team and this franchise can't win. You look around at all these franchises that stink, and there is a common theme. Ownership doesn't know what it's doing. Like, look at we talk about the Lions and the Bears and the Dolphins. It's like these owners bring in these people who, you know, are very good office politicians. And there's a belief too, you can take it down if you want. There's a belief too that Brian Flores sort of, not that he rocked the boat, just that he's probably not very good in an office setting. And that's not what a head coach is supposed to do. You know, like, a head coach is supposed to win football games. You're not supposed to be an office politician.
He's not a schmoozer like Will Brinson, we could say.
I turned down my volume on my dunk button. Oh, ho, ho! I actually think I'm like kind of bad at office politics too. Like I'm a schmoozer. Don't get me wrong, but like I you know, it's just stuff will come out of my mouth that is not like sometimes.
Fair enough.
Like,
fair enough. Well, like, in that tweet, Butler said, you know, one or both had to go. It could have been both. It seems like Torres was going to be the decision, but then Greer's the one making this decision to remove him, and his job maybe not in jeopardy at all.
Here's something else. Owner Stephen Ross states he has, quote, no plans to pursue Deshaun Watson. So no Deshaun Watson, no Jim Harbaugh. If you're a Dolphins fan,
it's a bad morning.
Yeah. You wake up thinking, okay, you know,
beat the Patriots. Fell short of the playoffs, but ended the season on a high note.
One in week 18, you beat the Patriots, and you finished with 9 wins. Sure, some of them against bad teams, and you know, it wasn't a great season. But you know, we're this close to the playoffs. Next year, Tua's third season, maybe we can finally take this big step forward. And now you're quasi rebooting. It doesn't make much sense.
And William Hill, you know, their over under preseason for the Dolphins was 9 wins. So in that sense, you met expectations. You fell short of the playoffs. I think 9-8, even with 7 teams, you don't expect to get into the playoffs, but they were right on par with, I think, what people expected. Now, fans probably expected a little bit more of a leap in year 2 from Tua, but we saw glimpses of that. But now no Deshaun, no Harbaugh, no Brian Flores. Who do they look after? I think it's clear when we talk about some of these other positions that Flores is immediately a head coach candidate for
absolutely
these other vacancies. He will get brought up. He will get interviewed. He probably will get hired by one of these teams. But who is on your short list for the Dolphins?
I would say that it's tough, man, because if I'm a head coaching candidate with, like, let's say that I'm Doug Peterson. And okay. I don't think that Doug Peterson is the top head coaching candidate, but Doug Peterson is number one. It might be for some people. He has a Super Bowl ring. He has a good resume. He did the Mike McCarthy thing where he takes a year off and is we'll have some sort of off, you know, at some point in the next few days, like a Doug Peterson looked deep inside his soul this off season and realized it was all Howie Roseman's fault. And then he learned he spent the weekend at PFF. No, I'm just kidding.
And that his quarterback might've been unsalvageable.
He made Wentz look like an MVP candidate in 2017. Like that's
Doug probably a winner yesterday.
Doug definitely a winner yesterday. So if you're gonna fire Flores, I always point out the ex-girlfriend theory that I hold for coaching hires, is that when you fire a guy, you're probably gonna look towards the opposite. Like when you break up with somebody, you break up with a tall blonde. You know, maybe sometimes, you know, I don't need to describe breakups.
We get it.
You go in the opposite direction a lot of times. You fire a defensive-minded Belichick tree guy, you're probably not going back to the Belichick tree, and you're probably going on offense. So I think Josh McDaniels is probably out, and I don't think McDaniels would do the stupid thing of going to coach directly against Bill Belichick. Just don't do that. Nick Saban learned the hard way. Brian Daboll in the division as well, it would be a little surprising. And anybody who coached for Bill Belichick probably shouldn't take this job. I think you're looking at somebody who is not a first-timer, an offensive-minded guy, or a potential splash name. Like I think Kellen Moore and Doug Peterson would be the first two guys that come to mind. Nathaniel Hackett is interviewing with the Jaguars. He's the Packers offensive coordinator. I mean, look, man, you got Aaron Rodgers, so it's a little bit easier, but you know, when you're working with him, it's certainly, you know, certainly going to get you some interviews, and he's been around the block for a little while. I guess they could look to college for either that wouldn't be surprising if they looked to college for a non Jim Harbaugh.
So I'm laughing because I read an article that, you know, knowing that Harbaugh probably out, that suggested Ryan Day, which was funny.
I saw that article a few minutes ago just because I was making sure I had all my bases covered for these candidates. Was that on SportsNaut or whatever that was, .com?
It might have been. It was from like a month ago when it seemed
Joe Brady was the first one.
Right. That's the same list. It would just be funny if Ross doesn't go with a Michigan grad, but kind of harms his college alma mater rival and pulls Ryan Day from Ohio State.
That's what I would do if I was a billionaire NFL owner. I would hire like Mac Brown from Carolina and then fire him immediately. Wait till Carolina. I'm just kidding. Bill O'Brien was suggested in the chat. Southern Dandy said better not be Bill O'Brien. Again, I really don't think Bill O'Brien definitely would like another head coaching job, but he's, you know, he's with Saban in Alabama right now. And he was with Belichick before.
How far do you have to be removed from the Belichick tree to be clean?
I don't think you can have ever worked for Belichick and take the Dolphins job with and not have Belichick see it as, oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't even have been like a quality control assistant for 1 year in 2005. You're out.
Is that Doug Peterson?
No, I don't think so.
You're just throwing that.
Yeah, just a random. I don't know who that fits. But
so Joe Judge out of the Dolphins job is what you're saying. He's not out of the Giants job yet. But guys like Patrick Graham or Todd Bowles, you know, defensive coordinators who, despite the Giants being bad, are certainly Dennis Allen with the Saints. I just don't know if the Dolphins will go in the defensive direction, given that Flores and Greer, you know, had these issues, and that you don't necessarily, if you have Tua and you believe Tua needs to be developed, it makes it difficult, I think, to go in the defensive direction as a selling point to your owner. Like, I would guess that, you know, Greer has told Stephen Ross that, Flores hates Tua. He doesn't know how to develop a quarterback. You know, this guy, you know, if it weren't for my players, this guy, we would have lost the locker room a long time ago, yada, yada, yada. I think focus on offensive people, focus on offensive minds. Eric Bieniemy is somebody that could work out.
Leftwich
for sure. Yep.
And when we look at Stephen Ross's head coaching hires, starting with Tony Sperano to Joe Philbin to Adam Gase, all those guys with offensive backgrounds, and then breaking the mold for Brian Flores. And I remember the conversations in 2019 we had with Brady Quinn when that was the Cliff Kingsbury, Zach Taylor, Matt LaFleur year, where the Dolphins kind of broke the mold that year by not going the friend of Sean McVay, offensive genius protege route.
That's right. It was
Flores and Fangio that year that kind of broke that mold. But three of Stephen Ross's four head coaching hires have been from the offensive side of the ball. So you think they go back there?
They had Dan Campbell in the house and they let him go. They let Man Campbell go. Went 5-7 after Joe Philbin was fired midseason. Man, they have really had some interim coaches since Ross got there. So they fired Sperano midseason in 2011. Todd Bowles took over as interim, went 2-1, hired Joe Philbin. They had Todd Bowles and Dan Campbell just right there. They're bad at this. I see that, and that the fact that they are bad at this, and it's kind of an attractive job, although the division is really, really hard. Like, the Pats are still there. The Bills look like they're going to be good for quite some time. And I mean, the Jets are at least, like, you know,
yeah,
potentially functional.
Two free spots.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And then the fact that you have 3 years and you have to make the playoffs, and that's not unusual for NFL coaching jobs, but you know, you got to go better. I don't know. How do you do better than what Brian Flores did in Miami, given where this team has been for the last 25, 30 years? It's very surprising.
And I'll bring it up again. They did give up their first round pick to the Eagles, so they don't have that, which turned into 15 overall, but they do have the 22nd overall pick from the 49ers.
Well, currently the 22nd. If my Niners, right. Yeah. Currently 22nd. If the Niners go on a playoff run, you know, that could be in theory.
Turn into 30.
32, even, Debo. Wouldn't that be? That would be exciting for my wallet. The Dolphins, by the way, were dead last in scoring defense in 2019, sixth in 2020, and 16th in 2021. So the defense dramatically improved. You know, fell back a little bit this year, but that was probably always going to happen. I definitely have questions about what the Dolphins are doing, and Dolphins fans should have questions as well.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, The designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.